The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So today I'm going to be dealing with a particular subject that really this topic is something that we talk about every year. If you guys have been following our ministry for any time, any length of time, you know that every single year we deal with the season of Teshuvah. Now, this may be the first time you've ever heard this word, heard this phrase, or heard this teaching, and you're like, what are you talking about? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So again, that we've titled this Entering the Season of Turning, Entering the Season of Turning. What in the world are we talking about entering the season of turning? We'll talk about that. I want to say this right off the top of the bat. And first of all, we welcome our podcast audience. We welcome our YouTube audience. As always, don't forget to share this, subscribe, push yes to notifications and all that so you can be notified for future messages just like this. Now, I want to say that God moves, and this is important when we get into this, God moves through seasons, cycles, and patterns. I want to say that again. You're going to see when you go through the 66 books of the Old and New Testament of the Bible, you'll discover that God operates and functions out of seasons, cycles, and patterns. You're going to see that all through the entire Bible. So today we're going to be dealing with one particular part of that, and that's seasons. Somebody say seasons. In Genesis 1:14, it says that God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." So again, the luminaries that we see in the heavenlies are not just there to provide light or to do their function, whatnot, from an astronomical aspect of that, but they're also there and they're positioned in certain ways. And there's certain things that happen with the moon, lunar cycles and solar cycles that are for the purpose of seasons, to mark seasons. Psalms 104:19, it says that God appointed the moon for seasons and the sun knows it's going down. As Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 through 3, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. We even see in the New Testament in John chapter 5, where there's a group of individuals that all have some type of ailments, infirmities. And the Bible says that an angel went down at a certain season at the pool of Bethesda and he would stir the waters. Thus, when individuals made it unto the waters that were stirred, they were made whole by the stirring of the water. But notice, it was at certain seasons. And then finally in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So this is, if you're taking notes today, Genesis 1:14, Psalms 104:19, Ecclesiastes 3:1 through 3, John 5:4, and Galatians 6:9. I know I talk fast, but you can go back and write those down when you get a chance and watch the replay on this on YouTube or whatnot. Now, all this is going to play a role when we get into where we're heading. This Sunday at sunset, we're entering into a season, a 40-day period, which is a season called Teshuvah. In fact, there is seven major feasts of Israel that Jews commemorate. You have the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And by the way, most of these were fulfilled through Christ, and the only ones left are the fall feast. And many, many scholars and theologians believe those final fall feasts will be fulfilled at the coming of the Lord. And that's a whole other teaching. But there is also what's called minor feast. This is kind of like the Feast of Hanukkah. okay, or the Feast of Lights. And then you have this season of Teshuvah. The word Teshuvah actually means in Hebrew to return. Somebody say return. Teshuvah is a time to return to the presence of God. It is also understood that returning to God is accomplished by and through repentance. I want to say that one more time because this is powerful right here. The word Teshuvah means to return, to come back to, or to return to something, a time to return to the presence of God. It is also understood that returning to God is accompanied by and through repentance. In other words, how do we return to where we need to be? Through repentance. All right, through repentance. Teshuvah occurs every year on the Hebrew calendar. In other words, we don't understand this as Westerners. This is not something that's going to be on your Gregorian calendar. You're not going to go find a calendar at your grocery store or your retail store, and you're going to open the calendar and you're going to open it up and you're going to see, oh, look, today is the first day of Teshuvah. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to see that. But again, God has a time frame. He operates on another calendar that we, for the most part, don't understand. For example, let me give you an example. On the Hebrew calendar, the new year actually begins in the during the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. That's the new year. It brings in the new year, or some say Rosh Hashanah, however you want to, a tomatoes, tomato, whatever. That enters in on the Jewish calendar. Again, Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah begins the Jewish New Year, usually typically in September. However, on our calendar, it is what? Come on, somebody talk to me. January 1st on the Gregorian calendar, or the what we understand. So again, just because we don't commemorate these things, we don't celebrate these things, and we don't acknowledge these things, doesn't mean that God ignores them, nor does he operate through, come on, seasons, cycles, and patterns. All right, I hope everybody understands. Teshuvah occurs during the 40 days, beginning the first day of the sixth month of the Jewish religious calendar year and ending on the Day of Atonement. On the 10th day of the seventh month, observant Jews have an understanding that this 40-day period. And you say, well, I'm not Jewish. Guys, listen to me. There is a lot of things you may say, well, I'm not Jewish. And oh, here he goes again, bringing it to the Hebrew roots movement, or he's teaching Judaism. I want to remind you, you go study the book of Zechariah. You go open the book of Revelation, and you will discover whether you like the feast, whether you don't like the feast, and whether you like these things or talk about these things. We, if you plan on being here in the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign, you and I will be commemorating. Listen, we're not going to make animal sacrifices because Jesus is the Lamb. He became the sacrifice. But we will be commemorating these feasts. We will still be observing new moons and Sabbaths. Oh, I know I got some people stirred up and got people some mad today, but I'm just going to tell you that if we're going to be doing this in the millennial reign, which according to Zechariah and according to the book of Ezekiel and according to the book of Revelation determines that we are going to be, why don't we go ahead and get a kickoff on this thing and go ahead and get warmed up to something that we're already going to do that. I want to be tapped in to the times and seasons in which God is moving. And I'm going to prove to you, not today, but on the next segment that we're going to do and talk about and dealing with this subject, I'm going to speak to you about 3 to 4 of the greatest miracles that coincided around this time frame and prove to you that that everything I'm telling you is absolute truth. Again, Teshuvah occurs during this 40-day period, ends on the Day of Atonement. And especially, listen to this, the last 10 days, so you have 30 days, Teshuvah, and then you have 10 days, and then the Day of Atonement. Those final 10 days are called the 10 days of awe. Now, according to tradition, this represents an opportunity of repentance and to be right with the Lord, because you are heading into, again, the Day of Atonement, which is a picture of the final judgment. The gavel comes down and judgment is made. Now, listen to this. Now, in case you're questioning this whole returning to the Lord, let me give you this, because I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in backsliding. They don't believe and they don't teach, and their preacher teaches them that there's no such thing as backsliding and you can't backslide. Well, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Revelation chapter 2, this, let me give you a little bit of backdrop on this. Jesus himself is commemorating and rebuking the seven churches of Asia. And I don't have time to get into what these seven churches represent. Are they seven church ages, or do they represent seven spiritual conditions of the last days church? I believe in both. I believe it's a little bit of both. I believe they can represent church ages, but I also believe they represent the climate of the last days church. Let's show you this. Revelation 2, verses 1 through 5. To the angel, the church of Ephesus, write, quote, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Listen to this. This is the Lord speaking. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they're not, and have found them to be liars." Hello, there's going to be false apostles in the last days church. "And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary." Now listen to this in verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have this against you." Listen what he says. This is Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. "I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen," here it is, "repent," or teshuvah, turn. "Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly. Remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." So you guys see this here? The Lord is emphasizing here. He's saying, look, you've got your, he commemorates them. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, you're not bearing with liars. You have no tolerance for evil. You are calling out false prophets and false apostles among your church." But listen what he says. "But here's the deal. You've been so busy in ministry that you have left your first love." Come on, we can get so caught up in doing the work of God and the ministry of God and for the kingdom, that we fail to have communion and devotion with the God of the kingdom, the God of the ministry that gave you the ministry to begin with. He says, "You have left your first love. Remember where you have fallen." In other words, ask the Holy Spirit, where did I fall? Have I fallen short? Have I fallen short in my devotion? Have I fallen short in my church attendance, gathering with other believers? Have I fallen short in my prayer? Have I fallen short in getting in the presence of God and reading the word? When you begin, listen, the Holy Spirit will illuminate that to you, and you can go back and say, my goodness, I'm not where I should be. In fact, the definition, in my opinion, of backsliding is if you are not where you used to, if you are more on fire for God in your past than you are in your present, then my friends, who moved? It wasn't God, it was you. Come on, I'm gonna, that's good preaching right there, Brother Ricky. Why, thank you. I'm gonna preach to myself, Brother Ricky. Am I on fire for God the same today as I was 10 years ago and 20 years ago? If I cannot answer that truthfully and my conscience bearing witness of that, then I have backslid and I need to repent and go back and do my first works. and get back to my first love. Listen, for believers, these 40 days, this is so important, guys. I'm going to get to the meat of this right now. For this is what it means for us, okay? The next 40 days, again, when does it start? This begins, listen to me, August 23rd, it begins this Sunday at sunset. I have my notes backward here. Begins this Sunday and it goes for 40 days. All right. This Sunday at sunset to the next 40 days. All right. What does this mean? Here's what I want to tell you. These 40 days are an open invitation for us to self-reflect and repent and enter into unity with God through the blood of Jesus, through his presence. However, for unbelievers, Teshuvah, or the season of repentance, is a solemn warning of the judgment to come. Now, guys, listen, on this segment today, I don't want to deal with the judgment section. We'll talk about that on another segment. Today, we're focusing on us. We're focusing on in-house. We're focusing on believers and what it means for us. Let me give you some verses of scripture. Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24. And then you can write this down if you're taking notes. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. I'm going to actually read Matthew 6, 14 and 15, but it absolutely coincides with Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Here it is. This is the Lord speaking. He says, listen to this. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither shall your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now, why is that important? Because here's why. Because when we get into the another segment on this topic, and I start talking about telling you guys to write down your greatest needs list, and you start writing down your top five or top 10 or whatever needs that you're believing God for the next 30 days, the next 40 days, the rest of the year, you start believing, you start contending for these things, whether it's breakthrough in your finances, breakthrough in your marriage, whether it's healing in your body, whether it's deliverance, whatever the case may be, reconciliation, restoration, whatever you're believing God for, listen to me, friends. During this season of repentance or Teshuvah, if you go to the throne and you are letting your petitions be known to him and you are harboring unforgiveness in your heart towards your brother, your sister, your coworker, your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your friend, whatever the case, your ex, whatever it is, whoever has done you wrong, come on, lied on you, slandered you, done things to you, and has hurt you, wounded you, and you've harbored and held to unforgiveness by God's own principles. God cannot open his hand of blessing and the windows of heaven and bless you if you cannot forgive men their trespasses from your heart. Let me prove that. Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, and I'm going to take it a step further. Or if you have something against your brother or sister, listen to what he says. Leave your gift at the altar. So in other words, he's saying, he's not telling you not to give. We should continually be giving unto the Lord. Continue giving your tithe, continue giving your offering, continue making a sacrifice of praise, continue to do this, but watch this. But he says, leave your gift on the altar and go your way and reconcile the relationship. Why is he telling us this? Because listen, friends, you can tithe every penny, month after month, year after year, and you can sow offerings, you can give to ministries, you can give to the orphans, the widows, the need, the poor, the needy, whatever the case may be. You could be doing all the right things, but yet if you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, you are restraining the hand of God from blessing you. Wow. Now, let's just go ahead and I want to go ahead and close this segment today right here. So next time we get on, either today or either tomorrow or Monday, because I've got a message that I got today in my devotional and I got to download and it's burning in my heart to share this. And I'll probably end up sharing that tomorrow. So probably Monday when we get back on this on Monday, because then we'll be into this season of Test Your Ball. When we share this on Monday, I'm going to share the second part of this and I'm going to show you, I'm going to talk about writing down your greatest prayer needs, how we should be praying about that, why we should. And then I'm going to share with you personal testimonies. It's going to build your faith and you're going to come into agreement. We're going to come into agreement and we're going to believe with you and you're going to believe with me. So this is where I want to leave this right here on this doorstep of forgiveness. So right now, wherever you're watching from, whether you're watching on podcasts, whether you're listening on podcasts, watching on YouTube, watching on Facebook, listen to me, friend. You can get on Facebook Live and say, it's all good. I'm all well. Everything's great. Everything's dandy. And you can put up a front. But only God and you know the truth. So I'm going to do something, and I'm going to ask you to do something today that might be a little bit uncomfortable for you. But I'm telling you that if you will be obedient to the Spirit of God and you will obey in this principle, you are breaking off you're breaking the chains of restraint and allowing God's hand of blessing to come upon you. Because listen, many years ago, the Lord gave me a revelation on this very principle. And he spoke to me one day and said, unforgiveness is the safe in which many believers' blessings are stored in and they're locked in. And the key to unlocking those blessings is forgiving their brothers and sisters. So listen to me, I'm telling you, and I can tell you with assurance that there's people watching this today and people that's listening to this today, and you have become frustrated. You become weary in well-doing because it's like you're giving your tithes, you're giving your offerings, you're faithfully attending church, you're reading your Bible, you're doing your devotion, you're doing all these things, but you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart towards another individual. And you say, how do I know if I'm harboring unforgiveness? Here's how you know. If you go, you show up to church and you see sister so-and-so in the church or brother so-and-so, you immediately have this feeling in your gut. You avoid them at all costs. You make every intention not to speak to them, not to look at them, because when you look at them and when you see them and you're in their presence, you get this gut-wrenching feeling. It makes you sick. It makes you nauseous. What is that? That is unforgiveness. And here's the danger in that. Paul warned about a root of bitterness springing up out of us. Guys, listen, I'm not going to tell you anything to do that I have not had to do myself. Everything I'm telling you, I've walked it out. And that's why God gave me a revelation on it. I had to forgive my biological father that left me when I was a little boy. Left me high and dry. I had to forgive him and release him. And because of my obedience of that, God brought him in my life. So listen, I don't know what breakthrough you need. I don't know what blessing you need. I don't know what deliverance you need. I don't know what healing that you need. I don't know what miracle that you're contending for. But listen, I refuse to allow us to have unforgiveness that blocks this from taking place. So here's where it's going to get a little uncomfortable. Everyone that's listening today, everyone that's watching today, I want you right now where you can, if it's possible. If you're by yourself, you can absolutely do this. If you're with somebody, listen, make time to do this tonight. Go into the bathroom, go in a private place, go in your closet, do whatever you got to do. Jesus said, go in your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. But I want you to begin to release the name or names of individuals that have wrongfully used you, done you wrong, hurt you, wounded you, lied on you, slandered you, defamed you, ridiculed you, persecuted you. You want Bible for that? Bless those who persecute you and pray for those who despitefully use you. For great is your reward in heaven. So right now, begin to release those names. Call them out. Father, I forgive so-and-so. And just call out their names. Father, so-and-so has hurt me. So-and-so did this. So-and-so wounded me. There's people, maybe you've been abused. Maybe you've been abandoned. You've been left. You've been brokenhearted. You've been lied on. You've been rejected. People has made up stuff about you. People have spread lies about you. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. And I know it's hard, but release them by faith. And some of you's got to say that today. Say, Father, I release so-and-so right now by faith. I don't want to do this, but I know I need to do this. And if you'll help me by the Holy Spirit today, I lay them down at your altar. I lay so-and-so at your altar and I release them today. I forgive them today. I bless them today. Lord, I pray no harm against them today. I just pray that you would just have your will in their lives. Come on. Some of y'all just need to bless away some of your enemies. Bless your enemies. Pray for your enemies. I didn't say you had to hang out with them. I didn't say you had to go and have coffee with them and hang out and eat at the restaurant with them or get on the phone and call them. But listen, if you got to write a letter to somebody, you need to write the letter to them. If you need to pick up the phone and call somebody and the Holy Spirit's leading you to do that, you need to be obedient and you need to do that. If you need to have lunch with them, you need to go to have a cup of coffee and sit down with them and say, look, we've had disagreements and you really hurt me in this. I just want you to know that you did this and you did that. But I want you to know that today I forgive you. I let it go and I have no hard feelings toward you. I'm telling you, friends, and I can tell you by experience, when you do this from your heart and you do it out of obedience to the Holy Spirit, you watch the joy unspeakable and full of glory just come over you like billows come over you. Why? Because you've released them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And what you've done, you may not see it in the natural, but when you forgive them and you release them, you have now given permission and given the availability for God to pour out his blessings upon you that you have not room enough to receive. I'm telling you, it will unlock things that have been restrained in your life because of the harboring of unforgiveness in times past. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the season of turning, the season of teshuvah. And the Lord just gave me a check. I was getting ready to close it right there. But there's some of you, you fall in the category of Revelation chapter 2. And you have gotten so busy with life. What do I mean? Life. That could be, listen, life is an umbrella term. For life can be, you're so busy with life. It could be ministry. It could be your kids. It could be your spouse. It could be sports. It could be your career, your hobby. You've gotten so busy with the hustle and bustle and the doing of life that you've left your first love. Yeah, you still go to church. Yeah, you still pick up the Bible and read it on occasion. Yeah, you still will pray. You still will go and do this. You'll even listen to Christian music, but you know in your heart that you have left. Come on, the fizzle is what's left of the flame. Let me say that again. The fizzle is what's left of the flame. But the good news, guys, is you can have it back. you can rekindle that fire again. How do you do that? Repent. Father, forgive me for allowing life and circumstances and situations to snuff out the devotional flame in my heart towards you, the love affair of you. Lord, if something has come and taken the presence that I have, the time that I spend in you, with you in the secret place, in that prayer time, and that time that I get into your word, if something has taken precedence over that, and that it's been put on the throne above you, Father, I repent today and I pull that down and put you back in your rightful place. I put you first in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, I thank you today that not only am I putting you first, but God, I thank you that as I repent, you said in Acts chapter 3, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Man, I didn't even have this in my notes. But I just got to check in my spirit. Some of you all, if you will be obedient to the word of the Lord during this 40 days of Test Yuval, you're going to see a season of refreshing, a season of outpouring in your life. Some of y'all has not, it's been so dry. You've not had a touch of the Holy Ghost. You've not had a touch of the fire of God. You've not had a touch of the presence of God. But I'm telling you, through repentance, through obedience, through forgiveness, and through turning back to him, you watch. It may not happen today. It may not happen now. But I'm telling you, if you will choose to grow not weary and well-doing in due season, I'm telling you, whether you're sitting at your desk, whether you're driving down the car listening to worship music, whether you're sitting at the pew at your church, whether you're standing in line at Walmart, or you're sitting in your on your couch in your living room with your eyes closed, it's coming. You're just going to throw your hands up in there, and I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you and give you a fresh touch and a refreshing. Come on, how many needs a fresh touch of the presence of the Lord? Father, I pray that you would do, Lord, these things today. Lord, I pray that I have been obedient to your word, been obedient to the unction that you've given me to deliver this word today. And Father, I rest assured upon your word that says that your word will not return void, but it will go forth and it will establish that which is sent forth to do. So I thank you for restoration. I thank you for reconciliation. I thank you for forgiveness, repentance, and turning and refreshing from the presence of the Lord during this next 40 days of Teshuvah, this season of turning and repentance. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are conditioning us and preparing us to see the miraculous in our lives, to see breakthroughs and deliverances and reconciliations and restorations and marriages, Lord, restored, and prodigals to come back home and healing in bodies, God. Lord, I believe it. And I believe there's some brothers and sisters today that are in unity and in agreement with us today on this broadcast. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, listen, I want to share with you some information real quick. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us. That's the back door, the front door. You can go through either one of those URLs. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Either one of them is going to take you to our main website. That's where you can go. Hit the subscribe button. Make sure you get our daily digest. You can get that in your email box or bookmark our site. Get and download our free app. Listen, we just did an update on the app. It should be operating smoothly now. It updates every time we do any news and headline. It's going to update that. There's push notifications on there so you can be notified right in your hand. All of our podcasts are going to be on there to listen and to watch at your leisure. All this is free to you. And we just want to be a blessing to you. And again, it's available free on Apple and Google Play Store. Get it. And it's, again, it's right there and available for you. Also, if you would like to support our ministry, if this ministry is a continual blessing, it edifies you, it informs you, it equips you, it does all that on a week-to-week basis, and you agree with our mission statement, and you stand and support what we do, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically by the app or through the main website. Right there on your screen, it shows you how to do that. If you're listening by podcast, just simply go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org or .com, and go and click on where it says partner with us or donate or support. There's going to be places all over the website where you can do that. If you've got the app, go to the bottom of the app, and there's going to be a place where it says donate. Click on that, and it's going to give you where you can give electronically right there. And it's easy to set up a monthly partnership or a one-time gift or whatever the case may be. You could do that. Or again, if you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that by making out that to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. Again, that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, guys, we're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on here tomorrow to close out the week. I've got a message. Let me pull up the title. I'm excited about this message because I'm telling you, I believe this is a prophetic right now message. So I'm not going to do the sequel to this Test Cheval series until Monday because I'm going to put it on the back burner. But tomorrow, get ready for this. I'm going to talk about, this is the title that the Lord gave me this morning, The Babel Blueprint to a Great Reset. Let me say that again. The Babel, that's talking about the Tower of Babel, the Babel Blueprint to a Great Reset. Now, remember, I told you at the beginning of this, God operates through what? Seasons, cycles, and patterns. I believe there is a prophetic pattern in the Old Testament to what is happening right now and where it's leading. So I'm so excited. Honestly, I could go and I could probably do this today and preach this today, but I'm not going to do two segments in one day. So again, tomorrow I'm going to talk about that. So get ready for that message. I'm going to talk about that. And then Monday we'll be in Test Cheval and we're going to kick off. We're going to do the second part of this message, and then we'll close it up with a third part. And then I'll show you some stuff that we can do personally during that 40-day time frame that we need to be doing day by day by day for the next 40 days. So we'll get into that. And then, of course, we'll have a whole, you know, next week, who knows what kind of crazy headlines will be out, and we'll have devotional messages and stuff as well. So listen, guys, we love you. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your partnership. We appreciate your support, all the letters. We're probably going to do this every Friday, but Friday, tomorrow we get on here, we've got some letters that we received in the mail. And so we're going to give a little bit of a shout out and a thank you to some of our partners that handwrite letters to us. And we so much appreciate that and message us and so on and so forth. So we'll probably take a little bit of time to do that tomorrow as well. So until then, guys, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.